Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and diving into Justin Ross. Lots of stuff with Justin Ross. It's not a simple, straightforward evaluation. And I think I come down on it with a with a specific bet. So let's just walk through this. Justin Ross, 6'4", 210, about 25 BMI. Notably, I think a couple of things are important. His BMI, he weighed in at 205 at the combine. Didn't run, didn't do any of that stuff at the combine. He then went to his pro day, weighed 5 pounds more, and obviously maintained the same height. He went from having a 25 BMI to a 25.6 BMI. So that is up, right? Okay, well, why did he not run at his combine? Well, because he played through a broken fifth metatarsal in his foot, which is the wide receiver broken bone is I guess the easiest way to describe it. It's the outside bone on your fifth on your foot, and it's broken frequently by wide receivers. He played through it. For what? I'm not sure. This wasn't a team that was contending. This wasn't a team that was, had big aspirations by the time this happened. Right? They weren't good from a pretty early standpoint. I mean, they're good. I'm a fan of Syracuse, so I have to be careful in terms of how I describe a team that has a national championship in my lifetime. But they weren't up to their expectations, and he played for a while through it into November, and then finally shut it down, had surgery, and took some time to get back, right? And we're looking 6 to 8 weeks by that point, and all of a sudden now you're looking in, it's after the new year, and we're just starting to run again and do all that stuff. You're within a couple of months basically of really being back in full training by the time his combine rolls around. So with that in mind, 11 bench reps, 4.63, 32 vert, 116 broad, and a height adjusted speed score of 93.8, which is good for 44th percentile. The broad is good for 17th percentile. The vert is good for 11th percentile, and some of the adjusted splits and stuff like that aren't good either on their runs. There's a lot of variance on him. I think it's all over the place. And I've come to appreciate what that signals to us more and more as I've done this. And one of the things early on in my dynasty career was I didn't want to be out on a limb about anything, right? I never wanted to miss. I didn't want, to make a decision unless like everything aligned, right? I didn't want to be in on a player, make an investment in on a player unless everything aligned. I've learned through the process of a lot of misses and a lot of different things that one of the times you can actually make a good leverage bet is when there's a ton of variance, right? When there's a ton of variance in terms of there's a lot of different signals going a lot of different ways on a player. That indicates a couple of things. One, that there's upside there, right? Because if he sucked, everyone would just say he sucked and there wouldn't be any variance. And when there's a big wide split, right, you naturally have people saying he's good and people saying he's bad, which is a good thing. That's something that you can... There's information there, and you have to sort through it. With Justin Ross, he goes back to basically my rule, which is if you are good from a young age, you are probably pretty good. And the question for you then has to become, if you're not good after that, why? Okay, and I think that the story for Justin Ross is pretty clear. He goes as an elite wide receiver from freshman year, when you go back and you look through the database, which is the PFF College database, the best yards per route run in a season that a wide receiver has ever put up is the Justin Ross freshman year. Okay, almost 5 yards per route run as a freshman, playing in massive games. And his two biggest games, the game leading up to the championship and the championship game. So has done it on big competition. We're not talking about Corey Davis doing this at Western Michigan. We're talking about Justin Ross doing this on a national championship run. And what do we know? Well, we know very simply that when wide receivers break out early, that tends to be a signal that they're pretty good. And what correlates best with success and fantasy in the NFL? Oh, it's early breakouts. And what did we see with Justin Ross? Broke out to 20% at 18 years old. He broke out to 24% Dominator rating at 18, 20% at 19, 21. Sorry, he missed the 20-year-old season. We'll get to that in a second. And at 21 years old, he was a 23% Dominator rating. Did he get massively better? No. When you look at some of the stats for him, 1.87 yards per team passing attempt, 58th percentile, 2.99 career yards per route run, 91st percentile. 31.4% of his routes he was targeted on, 92nd percentile. 20% of his targets were actually contested. That's 45th percentile. So again, that's not separating a ton. But you have to balance that with a high rate of targets, right? Because that is the kind of the Drake London, listen, by, you know, no matter what, we're throwing it to him type of thing. If he's contested, if it's covered, whatever, right? If we brought that number down on the targets per route run and just took out the separation, his separation would look good, but his targets per route run would blend in. And you would say, well, all right, well, what's that telling us, right? I think this is, if you're going to have a guy that looks like he's covered a lot, you want to have him targeted a ton. And I think that's a good signal to us. Broke a tackle once every 5.3 receptions. That's good for 72nd percentile. As I mentioned before, 4.98 yards per route run, the best single season that PFF has graded since 2014. 36.3 max percentage of routes run that he was targeted on. Good for 96th percentile. Those are stats. Again, you have him at a freshman age, and then what happens? He goes from that happens, right, and then he comes back, and actually in 20 and so that full season for Justin Ross is his freshman season, and that is with Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback. Now, we can sort of, I'm not going to say take pot shots at Trevor Lawrence. It's not really the business that we're in, but we can have questions about Trevor Lawrence. Absolutely have questions about him. I tend to think that he's probably not the same elite player that that he was graded as. Well, he's there. And Ross does take a step back in 2019. There's no doubt about that. He still leads them in. He's second on the team behind T. Higgins in terms of yards. T. Higgins actually has less receptions, but Justin Ross has 66 receptions, 865. T. Higgins has 59 receptions and 1167 and 13 touchdowns. So again, it's Ross leading in receptions, Higgins leading in yards. And then that's when Lawrence leaves and actually Lawrence stays another year. You get Higgins out, you get the offense looking a little bit different. However, in the offseason, that is when we find out that between his sophomore and his junior season, we find out that Justin Ross actually has a spinal issue. He undergoes a spinal surgery, misses the whole year, works his way back with a a quarterback in DJ Uiagalelei that isn't as good as Trevor Lawrence is, struggles a lot, and has a pretty rough go of it, honestly, from a guy that was thought to be pretty good. Like, you watch, I just went back and I watched the Georgia game, and scouting for Justin Ross, and I was just like, man, this isn't good, you know. And I didn't watch every game this year, but I went back and I watched more of the early career stuff, and liked what I saw a lot more than I liked this year, right? It was a lot of subpar quarterback play, and gives you a lot of concern there. I think that there's some interesting stuff here in terms of like how you read that. PFF's Kevin Cole says draft comps include Juju Smith-Schuster and Jarvis Landry on the high side, not a lot on the lower side. I will note that model has final season production as the core inputs. I think it's good to have it, but we know, again, what do we know? That it's guys that did it at a young age are good, right? Like, that's if we had to put a rule, like, that's the bet you want to make. Kevin Cole's model has value, however, it's weighing the opposite side. And again, what do we know? That everything basically got worse for him in terms of the quarterback situation, in terms of the fact that he's playing on a broken foot, all of those things. Shit in, shit out, right? That's what this is in terms of production. It's not going to show good comps because he had a really bad situation. Again, I'm not knocking Kevin's model, but what is measuring is like, no kidding, it's telling us that Justin Ross wasn't that good, right? Because he wasn't. Because I think a lot of the situational stuff, and again, he's playing on a broken foot, and he's playing with a bad quarterback. So that's a lot of the final season evaluation is a concern. Lance Zierlein hit this on the head. A quote from an AFC scout: grade him on his 2019 film, because basically, when you look at the full quote. Not only did he miss all of 2020, but when he came back, the offense was a mess and the quarterback had a hard time getting the ball to him with any accuracy or touch. You have to grade his 2019 film, in my opinion. Right, so that's looking – that's actually the sophomore year instead of just the freshman year. I think that's probably right, and that's a logical thing that I would look at. The Ringer has him roll in production early – has college career painted the picture of a future wide receiver star, NFL star, but his spinal surgery and subsequent subpar production in 2020 could lead him to fall in the draft. Possession wide receiver who is a big slot, according to PFF's grade, needs to maintain size basically bulk up to maintain positioning and the like is a PFF criticism. I thought Matt Waldman's opinion was one that I think best blends with what I think. Played through a broken fifth metatarsal in 2020. His type of receiver and offense will want to place on an island on one side of the field and demand it, where he'll draw favorable matchups when he's runner doing more intermediate and vertical stuff. He's one of the more underrated receivers, according to Matt, and a top five wide receiver in the class. I think there's enough signals for us to say, let's make an aggressive swing at this. What's an aggressive swing is the question that I think is important. there's a definition there that we need to sort of parse out a little bit, and we'll see what the market ultimately says about him. But if he's going to be, I think there's a couple of things with Justin Ross that are going to be critical. Day two production or day two pedigree. And because if he's going to fall further than that, we've got issues with injuries. We got issues with that should be a signal to us that maybe not everything's healed up, right? There still are some of these questions about the spinal stuff and, you know, how his foot is and all that stuff. So if he falls to day three, that should be a signal to us that's a problem. But if he's on day two, I'm firmly interested. Is that later second into the third round of rookie drafts? I think that's entirely possible. And I think, you know, outside wide receiver 9-10, something like that. I mean, that's a really interesting bet for me. I think you want to be, assuming day two pedigree, I want to be at the higher end of the range of outcomes because I want to make the bet that early production in college matters. And all the stuff they had to deal with at the end of it was bad. Right? And that probably some of the recency bias is tilting us in a way that's making us biased against Justin Ross, when in reality, what we should be looking at is the stuff that happened earlier on, because that's an indication of how good he is, right? That's the better indicator. So that's sort of my position on him. And I think that much of what will happen with the NFL will dictate where we go in rookie drafts. I will say this. He reminds me of what happened with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs broke out 18, a more elite outcome probably in terms of market share and dominator rating and stuff at 18 for Diggs, but then basically wallowed through the rest of his career. Injuries, crummy quarterback play, and the like. And he falls into day three, and he hits from there and is successful. And you look back and you say, well, what should we have known? Well, like, hey, he was good at a young age, and sometimes like that profile is what you really want to invest in. And again, is that taking him in round two of rookie draft? No, but it was like, hey, listen, when you have elite aspects of your profile, we should be on you. When you're breaking ties, I do think Justin Ross is an example of this, and I'm probably going to write about this in AOD. And again, even if he's a day two pick, he's still at best maybe one-third shot to be a fantasy starter, right? But that's okay in round three of rookie draft. That's where you want to take him. I think that generally speaking, a rule that I think we should probably live by is you go positional – positional advantage outside the top, say, 100 of startup picks. And what's that mean? Like outside the top first round of rookie drafts and outside the top 100 in startup drafts and existing leagues and the like, you're playing at equal cost. Your general rule should be, we know what the positional advantage is. It's in that range. It's running back over wide receiver. It's tight end and tight end premium, right? You're taking your selective shots on quarterbacks who are, you know, whether they're, you know, Matt Ryan types or they're, you know, Trubisky or whatever, right? Like those types of guys where you're like, hey, listen, there's some situational stuff here with the quarterback. Again, it's tight end. You know, we're looking for elite profiles at tight end in the range, or to maybe accumulate some volume at the tight end position, and we're looking for a lot of injury away running backs. When do we target wide receivers? I say this every year. There's maybe 5 to 10 guys outside the top 100 wide receiver, top 100 players that I'm interested at wide receiver. And what are we looking for? We're looking for an elite signal, right? Something that signals to us that this player can be elite in some way, shape, or form, whether that's prior production, whether that's potential situation, what have you. You know, one of the things that I've turned to looking at is points per route run, and you just sort of put that on a graph, and you just take the top 10% of that number and just see where those guys fall. And I did this at tight end earlier on, and when you do it this year at wide receiver, for example, it pops up. Julio and Jarvis Landry are basically two of the guys that really jump out at with that type of exercise. To me, in a typical rookie draft, in the third round, in the late second, and in the third round of rookie drafts, you're looking at a couple things. You're looking at day two tight ends, you're looking at day two running backs, early day three running backs. You're typically not looking at wide receivers. Why? Because wide receivers are typically bad bets in that range, because they're day two guys. They might even be day three guys. However, if the wide receiver has a signal that there's something elite there, right, he sticks out, and he's basically the rule breaker, which is you don't, right? You tend to bet the positional stuff, right? You bet on the traditional advantages. You want to sort of leverage that stuff. However, when there's an elite wide receiver profile in some way, shape, or form that really is an outlier, a potential outlier, that's the bet you have to make. And I think Justin Ross is going to be that. So again, if he's going to be on day two, later day two, even like you're looking Keenan Allen types, like that's okay, right? That you can be successful from there. And I'm interested if he can actually get with a decent quarterback, what could be. Again, is it a sure thing? No, but it's the type of bet that more and more as I play Dynasty, I want to make. And honestly, that young, good from a young age profile, if he can sort of come into the NFL and just be relevant and get out there and play, because right, guys that are able to play from a young age in college can tend to do so similarly if given the opportunity with pedigree, which would be day two pedigree, in the NFL. And right, I don't have to necessarily sit and wait for him to post wide receiver 15 finish. I can, if I want to, pivot off of him. Right, but I do think that there's some ceiling here that maybe we're a little bit we're understating. Again, the combine stuff testing is more indicative of where he goes in the NFL draft than it is indicative of success once you start breaking ties. Right, within the round, right, it's indicative of what round he might go in, but it is not indicative of success when comparing him to other guys in the round. So if you're comparing Justin Ross to other day two wide receivers, other round three wide receivers. By the way, that 4.63. 4.62 was what Cooper Kupp ran. You know, so they're different bodies, different types of players, but again, in round three, right? So I'm really interested in that, and we'll see sort of where he goes. I will be on day two. I think we will be aggressive, whether it's, you know, later round two rookie draft and round three rookie drafts. I think we're going to be in on that for sure. I think that could be around wide receiver 10, 11, 12, depending on how some of these guys go. When you start looking at it, for example, over at Grinding the Mocks, he doesn't even make the top 10, right? Menchie actually goes ahead of him. Sky Moore, George Pickens, all those guys are ahead of him. And so when you start looking at where a guy like Ross might go, again, he's hugging that day two, day three line. Don't get me wrong, like he's buried, but that's okay if you sort of understand the bet you want to make. 99.6 wide receiver 16 in the class. I don't know what upside he has, but I can tell you it's higher than wide receiver 16. All right, so if we're going to get somewhere around 10, I think that's a bet we have to make. So that's really my angle there. And you look at a guy like him versus Sky Moore, for example, I think like the better range of, like, I think the swing, again, we'll see what the pedigree looks like. If you're going round three over round two, it's a historical losing bet. So you want to be careful doing that stuff. But given the same pedigree or pretty close to it, the same round, I think you got to take Ross. And live with the idea of there's a wider range of outcomes, but that's really what you want at wide receiver, especially from that range. You want a wide range of outcomes because success can be a really big payoff. So this is probably the longest prospect profile that I've done this year, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Again, I think he's a good example of the types of bets you want to make. And even if you're going to miss two-thirds of the time, that one-third hit is something that I think can really make a difference, and that's really what you're aiming for. So again, a lot of base rate stuff in this, a lot of that type of bat, the type of decision that you want to make, I think is represented by Justin Ross. So again, don't be the prisoner of recency bias. Know what works, which is early breakouts, you know, young production, elite stuff there. And there's a lot of reasons why you can forgive some of the stuff that has happened recently. And honestly, the market's already doing that, because if the market was going to treat his early career stuff as actually indicative, they'd draft him higher, right? Because we kind of know how darn good that is. So you're already getting a discount because everyone else is discounting him based on stuff that he did recently. And I understand that there's translation concerns because of that, right? How he translates to the NFL, there's concerns there. But you're already getting a discount, So you, what you're really doing is you're able to take a big swing at some elite pieces because of all the stuff that's happened more recently. So really interested in that bet, and that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue to brace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.